Good evening, everyone. All right, so Pledge of Allegiance. How about you, Steve? Can you lead us in that?
Sure.
Okay.
Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Steve. Let the record show that all the directors are present tonight. And can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor of approving the agenda, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The agenda approval is recognized. And we'll start with public comments.
Hello. My name is Josh Wolf. I recently filed a public records request to get a little bit better understanding of how the website's coming along. And I've managed to figure out some things here and there, but I still have some questions that I'm trying to figure out. So as best I can tell, there was someone that was hired back last year to build the website, or was in talks to build the website, and then it somehow, I don't know what happened to them. And then in the beginning of this, at the end of last year, December 5th, was a meeting of the CSD, and then the week after that, I listened to the December 5th meeting, and I didn't hear anything about much of the website, but then the days after that appears to be when the search for a new web developer happened. But I can't find any evidence of whether that was our town manager's decision of who to hire and to approve that money, or whether it came before the board and I can't find it on the audio. So I'm just trying to understand better how that happened. I understand it was a $5,000 project and it's reviewing that the outline of the work with various other web developers that I've been able to speak to. It's within the competitive range, but definitely on the high side, and come 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 months later, we're still waiting for that website. Now, I have had a chance to see the staging site, so I know that most of it's been complete. And really, the part that I think is most important in terms of this conversation, in addition to trying to understand exactly how the pieces fit together, is that the agenda, although there's the state government passed a law in 2016 that says that the agendas need to be put on special districts and towns' websites so that people have to keep ready access to it. Admittedly, that law doesn't start until January 1st, so you still have plenty of time to be in compliance with the law, but I think it's of utmost importance that 72 hours beforehand people can go to writewithcsd.org, see the agenda, and I realize there's a lot of other important content that's going to be created and that there's a backlog for that, but I really think it's important to prioritize getting the agenda and the email addresses to contact the board on there so that it can actually be a usable site for what our state leaders have decided is important enough that 2 years ago they passed a law that says that by January, agendas for organizations like this are required to be on the web. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other public comments? All right. Agency, any agencies here? Sue.
Hello, I'm Susan Drake from County Supervisor Lovingood's office. Because fire isn't here tonight, I did want to let everyone know that there is a proposal from the fire department, not just here, but a county fire, proposed fire fee. And they will be having community meetings in the upcoming month, and I know they'll have one in Wrightwood, so I would urge everyone to attend that meeting and be on the lookout. We'll help you spread the word about when the actual meeting is taking place to learn all about what it entails, what's involved, and what the effect it would have on your property. It's just really, really important that everybody know about that and how to contest it. or if it's not contested adequately, how it will end up going to a vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan.
Thank you.
Is it a fee or a tax?
I can only tell you, and this is an opinion, but this is what Supervisor Lovenwood feels like, that there's no difference.
When you file your own taxes, if it's property tax, it's a different issue.
It would go on your property tax.
Well, yeah. Is it for all parcels or just structures?
The reason I wanted to make sure everybody knew about the meeting is really those questions should be answered by fire as opposed to me. That's why really, really, I want everyone to get totally clear information on this before it goes forward. That's why I'm urging people to attend, because the last thing I would want to do is answer anything incorrectly on behalf of fire.
How do we find out the date of that meeting?
They met with us last week and told us that they were going to have these community meetings. I have not received any further outreach about the dates. As soon as I do, I know we're going to spread those dates far and wide. And if there's another meeting in Phelan or Oak Hill, they'll all be the same meeting. So if you can't make the meeting that's closest to you, you can go a little bit farther away and attend another one. Again, the same information will be disseminated in all the meetings.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Susan.
Thank you. Okay, item six, consent calendar. We have the June 5th, 2018 minutes. Anybody have any changes or anything to those? And the June 26th minutes, special board minutes. That looks okay. And then, Chuck, you said you had some questions on the June disbursements.
Just a couple.
Okay.
Different ones. The check number 1213. For $497 is for the county health permit.
Correct.
What does that for entail, whatever? Is that because we have the kitchen or
Correct.
What? Okay, so it is the kitchen permit.
The inspection.
Right.
And then the process to all paperwork.
Is that a yearly cost, basically?
Facility.
The other stuff I have to wait until director's comments, I guess.
I have one question here, Mr. President, and that is, what was the water bill for last month?
You speak up.
What was the question was, what was the water bill for last month?
I didn't see it on here. It did not come through.
Check number 1215.
I'm sorry?
1215.
Check number
1215.
357. Okay. Got it.
Yeah, I guess that'll start picking up a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Summer problem.
Well, hopefully it's not 800 like last year.
Those are the only ones I had on.
Okay. All right. Can I have a motion to accept the consent calendar?
I'll make a motion to accept the consent calendar.
I'll second it.
All those in favor, say aye.
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 All those opposed? Motion is approved. Item 7, General Manager Report.
Pretty much what I wrote down. If you have any questions,
okay. I noticed the bridge was fixed, right? You got heard about that?
I want to add that I went to Alaska meeting this last Monday.
You go, speak up.
I will add that I went to Alaska meeting this last Monday to deal with the sphere of influence. There's basically a pre-meeting going over things with Alaska and several other district departments.
Uh-huh.
And pretty much nothing's really changed from what we have that we took on when the district was formed. And they're going to bring that to the LAFCO board on July 18th.
Okay, I would like to touch on the on this report, the dump card thing. That is a giant project.
Correct.
And it was a great job you guys did in getting that out. It's not a small deal. It's a really big deal.
Absolutely.
We printed all the cards ourselves, got the QR code on there, right?
Yeah.
And, yeah, but it all works. And it's all tested. You guys got them all out in the mail.
Right.
And the changes are going okay and everything, Michelle? Those are going okay?
Yeah.
It's a reasonable rate? Wasn't like hundreds that are wrong or something?
No.
Okay, all right. All right, that's really good. You guys did a great job. I just wanted to point that out. Yeah, that is not an easy job.
Not at all.
Thanks for your work on that. I was wondering, is there any progress on getting the front porch or the front steps?
Okay. Well, I have a contractor. It's been difficult finding a licensed and insured contractor. But I have had a couple. I have one that actually gave me an estimate. And so I wanted to bring that to the board. And I asked for the estimate. He mentioned that about a month ago. And I asked for the estimate. I go, hey, yeah, I need this for the board package. He goes, I changed my mind. I'm moving to Arizona. So.
Is there an RFP for this thing, or is there a...
No, I really didn't put out an official RFP.
We probably should put out an RFP, Al.
Now I do have another contractor that's probably going to be looking at it. He's the one that's very local, and he's the one that did our snow removal this last year at Dorian, and he's going to be looking at it next week.
Okay.
Thanks, Al.
Okay, but can we get an RFP going for that?
Okay.
I mean, I'd really like to see that, I think.
Okay.
And
Is that for not only the front steps, but the emergency exit on the east side of the building?
Well,
or are they broken up?
The ones that I've talked to before, okay, I looked at it as two separate things. One of the things, and I'm glad you mentioned this, for the emergency exit on this side, I thought maybe there'd be an ADA ability, maybe an ADA ramp and that type of stuff. We don't have the room to do that, so that's not going to happen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just not going to be able to qualify for ADA.
Chuck's not going to deed his part of his property to us?
That's a problem part of it anyway. Anyway, so just bring that forward.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments on the general manager report? Any public comments on that? Okay. All right, item 8, annual election of officers. So this is where...
This is an opportunity. There's no set form. There's no set form.
Yeah.
You can vote to retain the officers you have.
Yeah.
You can vote to change them.
Okay.
You can vote to rotate them. Whatever the board feels most comfortable with. But these are something that gets addressed once a year.
Okay.
If I may tag on to that, Mr. President. Statutorily, the board is required to conduct that election of officers within 45 days after every district election. So your next election would be 2020. So that's when you were required to do it. The board can do it more often if it wishes. That's not prohibited, but you are required to consider that within 45 days after district election.
Okay, so this is more of a hey, we'll do this once a year as a policy, just good practice, but...
That's up to the board to decide.
I got you.
From a policy standpoint,
okay.
Whether to do it more often than that.
Okay. Yes, Liz.
Liz Olsbada. I just wanted to share my only experience with organizations like this is the school board, where I spent far too many Tuesday evenings. But what they seemed to do, I think, was rotate, because it seemed like every year it was a different person, and they would have this election, and it just sort of seemed to rotate around. I don't know how they decided how to rotate it, but that was the impression.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And just another comment as a suggestion. The feeling of being held here is being whoever's the vice president, some president calling here, and then re-elect the new vice president.
Okay.
That's another virtue.
Okay. Okay, well, I'll just open it up for discussion. What's your opinion?
I'm okay the way it is right now.
I was afraid of that. Okay.
You like that last option, Leo?
All right.
I'm sorry, I was going to say the same thing.
I would recommend that we keep it the same.
Oh, man. All right. Michelle?
Well, I nominated you to begin with. And, I think that there's definitely something to be said for rotation. I think there's also something to be said in the first couple of years. You've really been in the thick of things that there was already a huge transfer of knowledge demanded right away after the CSC was formed, because one of the people on the board that had a lot of the core knowledge of county agencies and such was gone. And you already had some knowledge from your work. You already had some knowledge, but you got a huge crash course, and we're still fighting some of those same issues with the county. So I think you've done a great job, and I definitely see the value in keeping both of you.
Well, we can revisit this issue anytime.
No, it's at least yearly.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Leo.
Yeah. Okay.
That's why he started off saying his
goal. Okay.
So
I think,
should we make a motion to maintain the current, or we just move on?
It's up to the board. If you make a motion to do that, that's fine. If you take no action, then it remains as is. Anyway.
Okay. I think we'll just take no action here.
Okay.
Just leave it the way it is. Okay. Item 9, Wrightwood Village Trail. So let's have public comments on this first.
So are you looking for public comments?
Yeah.
John has a presentation.
Okay. I'm sorry, John. I thought, yeah, please.
I know when I turn sideways, I'm kind of thin. It's hard to see now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know when I was in high school, I was doing a performance one time, and one of the students says, John, would you please get out from behind the mic so we can see you? So ever since then, I've had the same problem. But October of last year, the Wrightwood Village Trail Committee, we proposed to the CSC that you take over maintenance of the trail. That was postponed or tabled, and at this time, we're bringing it back up again. You have a document in front of you, and I will just read the first paragraph. We, the Wrightwood Village Trail Committee, request that the CSD take over maintenance and upkeep of the trail under the Parks and Recreation Division for discussion and approval tonight for a January 2019 takeover. This is our second request for this action. See request dated October 3rd, 2017, which spelled out the location, composition, current cost, along with the history of the trail. So, is there any questions?
John, are most of the supplies donated?
No, we have a small fund that the Lions Club keeps for us. I believe there's about $300 left in there. And basically, the doggy bags are the one expense that we do take out of that account.
But the composition and the upkeep and the labor, that's all volunteer. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. I mean my problem with this is that when it, you know, since the CSD has a checkbook, that volunteer stuff kind of stops.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's.
And I would like to maybe reiterate on that a little bit. I understand that one of the CSD maintenance people for our buildings has a little bit of extra time in his schedule, and that possibly that time could be utilized on maintaining the trail or doing other activities on the trail itself.
You know, in addition to the possibility of what our staff members providing maintenance, if we are to pass this, I'd really like to use this as an opportunity to begin to get community volunteers involved in such. I think, it says on here that Monica and the Boy Scouts have volunteered to do that. I think we've got groups. I remember when I first moved up here, and I think to this day, seeing the groups out on the highway picking up litter, and I think that's like a once a month activity. So it seems to me that it would take some effort to organize a volunteer kind of campaign, but the trail is something that we take pride in this town, so it seems like something that would garner support.
Well, we're already maxed out. We're already maxed out right now. You know, I don't know where the extra time. Where I'd not heard that before. We have somebody with extra time. Is that what you were saying?
You can double check with the manager on that.
We have extra time. There's a guy twiddling his thumbs.
There is no thumb twiddling.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But perhaps on Sunday, once a month or whatever, Ron could walk the trail and just submit on sectional of that sort. Obviously, there would be a dependence upon civic organizations or community volunteers being involved.
Which that also takes time. I mean, that takes time to organize that, and somebody has to own that.
And it almost sounds like, if I could jump in, it almost sounds like we got to start the process of having a parks and recreation person specifically for that to help facilitate not only the softball and other organizations, but something like this as well. I mean, this is all dialogue and things that we got to start.
Well, the softball
comes back down to money.
But the softball thing takes care of itself. I mean, it brings money in.
I understand.
Not only does it bring money in, but they are motivated to do all this volunteer stuff. But now we're saying, hey, we need the potholes filled in, we need this, you know, and then there's people coming to the CSD going, I see a crack. I need this crack taken care of. You know, we don't have road powers or we don't have these guys, and it's right out there on Caltrans, and it's just not one of the things that we signed on for.
I see your point.
I mean, that's my right now, that's what I think. Natalie?
John, can I ask you a question? The committee here, would the committee be dissolving if the CSD took over the trail maintenance? Would your committee dissolve?
No, not necessarily. But, we would come, and as you notice in here, I've noted that the Veterans Park is a very, very similar situation. You know, they come to you, they ask if they can add a flagpole, whatever, a monument, and you decide whether it's doable or not. And it would be, and then they also, they take care of the monument themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They pretty much do the maintenance work, they do the cleanup.
Yeah.
And so, yes, we would like to continue.
Well, they don't maintain the yard or anything, though. We do that.
They maintain what?
They don't maintain the yard or cut the grass or pull the weeds or any of that stuff. The CSD does that.
Well, maybe cutting the lawn, but talking to their chairman of the committee, I understand that they do quite a bit of maintenance, yard cleaning and yard pulling and so forth.
Okay.
So do you see it as possible that the committee, the Village Trail Committee and the CSD work together where the Village Trail Committee is still trying to bring in volunteers to assist, like Monica and, you know, these extra organizations? Could like we work together on that where it makes it a bit simpler for the CSD but also for, you know, just working together?
Right, yeah. Different organizations have come forward, like we talked about, the Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, you know,
mm-hmm.
and other people have and wanted to volunteer to help out.
And does the committee do outreach to those organizations to try and bring them in as volunteers?
We have not per se.
Okay.
Had your own recruitment effort.
Yes.
Okay. What do you see it as, or how many hours would you say the CSD would have to spend on this?
Well, like us, you know, we walk the trail maybe once a month, cut back some of the brush, just make sure that the branches haven't fallen on the trail, trying to keep it cleaned up.
But then you've got to call and get them to come down and put the granite in, fill in the holes and all that.
Yeah.
How many hours a month would you say is spent on not only the management, or maybe break it down, say, hey, we spend 10 hours a month on management and 10 hours a month on labor, or how does it break down?
I would say it's all labor, you know, not management.
Okay.
Camp Fenner, if we need them, we call them, and they try and fit it into their schedule.
Uh-huh. So how many hours do you think on labor?
Oh, I would say in a month,
yeah,
probably 16 hours at the most.
2 8-hour
days, okay. 2 6-hour days.
How much on materials, John?
How much what?
On materials, the granite, the...
That is nothing on it.
That's free at this point, right?
Free?
It was donated by Fenner this last time.
Okay.
Camp Fenner.
Beautiful.
And
how did that donation get set up? Did you solicit it? Did they come and volunteer it?
They volunteered. Okay. They had some extra, and so they said they'd go get it and bring it in. They saw the need, and they fixed it.
Right. Well, if the CSD takes it over, I certainly question whether people would be willing to donate to the CSD for certain
financially
projects.
or hours,
time-wise,
both.
Well, time
whatever.
Both.
Yeah.
Because since the CSD, it's a touchy subject, because the CSD is here because of property tax and taxes that people pay. So people naturally think, hey, I'm already paying. I've already volunteered. I've already given my taxes. It turns into a different animal as soon as an organization like the CSD takes it over.
Well, see, I have a different theology. Like
okay.
My dad used to say, you rest when you die. So, we never stop volunteering. People volunteer on top of volunteers. You know,
it's unquestioned that you volunteer. You know that you're that part's unquestioned.
Right. I think we're going to have potentially this issue with some individuals, but I think if we take the approach of, like, that Monica has already paved the way for with Boy Scouts, if there's that approach to ask organizations to organize maybe once a year, maybe we can come up with 12 organizations and each one, you know, does it once a month in supplement to someone, you know, from our staff taking a walk down the trail once a month to, you know, keep an eye on it, but if we ask the groups, then it's easier to get a group on board. They're doing it together. There's loyalty to the group. It's something that their group can do to contribute. So I still see it as possible. I'm very optimistic.
It's 16 hours a month though for labor, and that's a significant chunk out of our part-time
staff. Well,
it's 16
hours a month, and that was split previously between how many people?
Two or three of us.
Two or three. If you get a half a dozen or a dozen people from an organization, that 16 hours a month gets trimmed down pretty quickly.
16 kids take an hour each.
And I would just like to say that I do think that we do have a community of volunteers, and that if it turned into a movement of some type where not just this room full of people, but, you know, on social media there was some type of outreach saying that the Rywood Village Trail, you know, needs maintenance and upkeep, that I feel like it's very possible to rally up enough people to have maintenance. And that's why I was saying that if the committee is still you know, together, that the committee could, you know, do that outreach on Facebook or something and try and coordinate those groups to volunteer their time.
Well, plus the fact that I know Stephen for the Mountaineer Progress and I have talked, and he'd be willing to, you know, to put those kind of announcements in the newspaper.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
To put
that's very
helpful. Time and a place.
Yeah.
And,
you know,
and
that would be the same if we took it over.
Sure.
Sure.
Okay. And you could, it could be like a monthly maintenance day.
Sure.
I know at the community garden, yeah, you know, we like to do a monthly maintenance. Haven't done it in a little while, but yeah, that's what we'd like to do.
Liz Potter would like to make some comments.
Bring that thing in there. Thank you, John. I just really support the Village Trail. It's one of the few things I can go and take my dog for a walk, and we have a little route, you know, we walk around town that way, and I think it contributes a lot to the safety of the community, which is one reason it was built, was to keep people off the highway. So I would, and with John leaving, I mean, if John wasn't leaving, I don't think this would be a big issue. But
no,
with them moving, you know, I really worry that it could fall into disrepair and be neglected. So that if the CSD could just take over kind of the management to make sure that it kept going, that it was still functional, that the donations came in, that it was being taken care of, I think that would be appreciated.
Would you be one of those volunteers?
I would go out there and help.
Okay.
I think there's a ton of people that would volunteer. But my concern basically is CSD takes it over. CSD takes it over. Who runs it? Is that now Al's responsibility to
yes.
make sure that everything gets done?
Yes.
That people are, you know, that he contacts the organizations that you get it done?
Somebody, well, it doesn't have to be Al that does that, but you know, as part of the volunteer effort, you could assign it to one of the volunteers.
Right, but he has to oversee it.
Well, but that's far less. He could say, hey, how's it going on the Village Trail? Well, I've made these calls, and I've done, you know, that doesn't take
right.
that long.
Well, and, you know, the Al's, you know, even in his general manager report, you know,
oh, yeah,
he's gets busy, and,
he's very
you know,
busy.
He's had to put off some other things because he hasn't had the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's just adding something else on a situation where we're not running smooth right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not negative. It's not anything like that, but stuff isn't
it could be smoother.
Getting
okay.
done on a, you know, on a regular basis.
Yeah.
So what if we had a point person that worked with the Village Trail committee?
But then what does it need the CSD for then?
Yeah.
We have a point person from the CSD that's working with the Village Trail Committee to secure volunteers.
But why? What is the CSD adding to that? In other words, if the Village Trail organization is still exists and is still doing everything, then what value does the CSD add to that?
The value, well, it allows the trail to guarantee to continue, as Liz just said. That's the value I see in the CSD taking it over at this point in time with John moving.
Yeah.
The value of keeping the trail committee together, if the CSD takes it over, is, and I speak from 10 years of working with the produce co-op in town, that exists only because I have volunteers that show up every
yeah.
single co-op. There's no possible way I could do it without them. And so we have some people that show up every time. We have some people we see once a year. And when you don't have enough people, there are certain approaches and strategies that you use. I mean, if you've worked with volunteers a lot, then there's a skill set there. The Village Trail Committee's already got, obviously, some of that, because you've been working with volunteers for a long time now. So we utilize that.
But the reality is, John Lanoux is the chairman. He is the committee. Now, he's had other people that have helped out, but the bottom line is John probably does, what, 80-90% of it? You get volunteers to help with cleanup, Boy Scouts, those type of things. But the actual person running this thing and making sure it goes through, it's your baby, and you're the one that does it, from my point of view. I don't know the particulars, but in hearing the last presentation, this presentation, and I am definitely concerned of staff. You know, if the staff was getting everything done right now, and we were working with our finances, and those type of things happen, then I'd be more open to it. But right now, it's not.
Are you the committee? We are the committee.
Very
yes,
good.
Excellent.
We thought you should see who the committee is.
We've known John for
a long time.
Right.
And we're dating back to about 1998.
To get this trail going.
That's yeah. right.
And would you all, if the CSD were to take this over, would you still be committed to being involved in it?
Absolutely.
Let me ask you this question. If the CSD doesn't get involved, Are you guys willing to keep it going?
Absolutely,
with John?
Because we believe it's a service to the community.
Beautiful.
It's a safety feature for the community. And everybody here knows that. You want to see your kids walking down Route 2?
On the highway?
On a highway pushing baby carriages? We've seen it. We don't like it.
We need your validation that the CSD supports the village trail.
I think that's very, very important.
Why is that important?
Because we're the governing agents of this community.
But it's not one of our powers. It's not one of our things.
It's
so
part of the community.
Well, let me finish.
It's
let me finish.
Parks and Rec. I think it's Parks and Recreation.
It's Parks and Rec, just like every park we've got. And to me, one
I don't,
of all,
I don't see
all
the,
of
I don't the, see the value that, that we add.
What's one of the most widely used parks in this community?
I don't see what we contribute. What are we contributing? Al's
time. If we weren't going to contribute something, John wouldn't have been here twice. He's been here four times talking about this at least, actually. He wouldn't have had it on the agenda twice, and they wouldn't be standing here. So what is it? Let's ask you guys. What would we be? Why is this a value to you guys? To have?
The CSD.
I want the validation that you support.
Well, we could write you a letter for that. I mean, what is it?
No, you don't. I want you to come up in the newspaper and say that you support what we're doing and that you want volunteers and other support. What happens with the Wrightwood Village Trail?
That's a win.
And if we have issues that we have a huge flood that comes in and wipes out a major section of it, that we could turn to you and to the county of San Bernardino and say, we need help because this is validity for us.
That's really what I'm afraid of because we're trying to run this thing with a budget. And if it becomes an expense for the CSD that we didn't know about, it's
write us off, Facebook. Okay, we don't like this trail.
This is a really good point. By accepting it, we're not signing a 20-year contract for something. We're
willing
to take it on.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're not agreeing that we're going to have this, you know, regardless of what things might ensue in the town. We're saying we will maintain it as is now.
Community.
But I believe with this volunteer force here and my experience in this town with volunteers, I don't think, yes, if something big happens, it's a potential burden to the CSD. But it falls under Parks and Rec. I don't think there is a single Parks and Rec facility that is used in this town more than the Village Trail is used. Unless we count the grade school playground that we get for the dollar a year. That village trail, and when I moved here, I was like, why don't we have a trail? I wish we had a trail.
That's what we thought.
And it's beautiful. If we were, you know, so in that case, the Chamber of Commerce could volunteer too, because it's great publicity for our town. It's a wonderful thing to bring people in, and it's a great
Everybody does. The churches volunteer, the chamber volunteers, the Forest Service people volunteer, the center camp volunteers, all of us volunteer.
Yeah.
I see horses on it, bicycles on it, baby carriages on it, walkers.
Well, there's no doubt of the value of the trail. There's no doubt of that. But the question I have is that, you know, I just have my doubts that the great volunteer effort we have right now can be maintained if the CSD takes it over.
I think, Wes, that the trail, we turn this around, that the trail is a value to the CSD. You know, it is part of the Parks and Rec. If something breaks in the park over here, you have to fix it. If something broke on the trail, you'd have to fix it. You know,
but this is an addition. We knew all that before.
Yeah,
this is a later addition. But we don't collect more taxes.
Yeah. Okay, Randy would like to speak.
Just, I have one. Go ahead, Randy. Whose property is the trail?
Caltrans.
So
Caltrans.
Caltrans.
Yeah.
That's my question.
Caltrans.
What happens if somebody?
Not CSD, right?
No, Caltrans wouldn't fix it.
Yeah. So if somebody breaks their ankle or something, the CSD would.
That's a good question.
Liability?
Well, that's an excellent question, Dr. Hordak. The request in the agenda materials indicates a request that the CSD take over the maintenance and upkeep. Once the CSD has assumed that duty, then there's a certain amount of liability associated with that. I don't know how that would affect your insurance, your liability insurance. I don't know what if that would result in an increased cost there, but certainly there would be an increased exposure, because once you assume that duty and you assume that obligation, then you also assume that risk.
So you're saying if we went to the insurance company and said, hey, we have a trail next to a highway, that goes however length down the highway, would there be an increase in the insurance?
And yes, and whether or not, and the district wishes to assume the maintenance and upkeep. I'm just working off the language of the request.
Yeah.
The maintenance and upkeep, will that result in the increase in our liability insurance premiums? I do not know the answer.
Why does that liability not fall on Caltrans if they own it?
There would be liability to Caltrans, certainly as the property owner,
but if you're on the
Caltrans property, and you've assumed the maintenance and upkeep of it, and
so we have some liability.
If someone is injured or something happens due to negligence in conducting that maintenance or upkeep, then there would be liability to the district.
Is the Village Trail Committee currently liable then?
I don't know. I can't answer that question.
I'll say with regard to Adopt a Highway is this whole insurance issue about having insurance has forced us to drop out of the Adopt a Highway program temporarily until we solve the insurance problem. Now we have guys.
But what was the answer? What was the discussion with Caltrans? Caltrans flat out refused to take any responsibility.
Yeah, they said they have $1 million liability policy, so we're looking at that. You can get somewhere you can add. You know, we'll talk about it tomorrow. We should have the estimates in, but yes, that is an issue.
But my point being is Caltrans isn't going to take responsibility for it, even though they own it.
Actually, to get a permit now for Adopt a Highway and probably Adopt a Trail, you're going to have to provide
insurance.
Yeah.
Because they don't. Because they want to put you first.
Yeah.
In line.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's all I had to ask.
Okay.
You know.
Can I make a statement?
Sure. Sure.
Do you think if somebody could put on a trail now?
Could I ask you one procedural thing? Could you just for the recorder? Could you state your name?
Yeah, Ron Parody, Brentwood Village Trail Committee. Do you think now that if somebody got hurt on a trail and they had an attorney, they wouldn't come after Wrightwood and the county?
Well,
the same thing would happen.
I don't know what that means. Come after Wrightwood.
They would sue both organizations.
They wouldn't sue that. That we they wouldn't have any standing with the CSD because it's not our property.
But
we don't have any.
It's connected with Wrightwood. A good attorney would come after both issues. You know that as well as I do.
I don't think in this.
Well,
I don't know on what grounds the CSD would have any exposure liability if the CSD either owns, operates, maintains, or upkeeps.
Well, then it probably come after somebody in Wrightwood, Steve, and who would be the governing authority?
Well, certainly they would come after Caltrans. Caltrans owns the property, and so that would certainly be an agency that would be.
And they'd probably go for deep pockets, no question. But I don't think we could alleviate Wrightwood's responsibility just by saying we don't want any part of it.
You mean the CSD?
Yes.
I think actually that is actually true. We would not have any liability if we did not do any maintenance or we didn't sign off on that on the trail and it stayed the way it is now. I think that's actually true. There would be no liability for the CSD.
It might be worth getting the information from SDRMA to see what the cost would be. Because that's a cost that would be borne by the community. And that's certainly something that would seem to me that would be relevant to the discussion if there would be an increase in premiums as a result of taking over the maintenance and upkeep.
I think that's something that we need to look at.
I agree.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Who assumes responsibility in terms of insurance for the 12 teams of softball playing where you have all those people running around when they break a leg?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that CSD?
Yeah, it is. Yes.
Well, it seems like, you know, if you're willing to assume the responsibility for that, I don't see why you're not willing to assume the responsibility for the people on the trail. There's a lot less chance of people getting hurt walking the trail and running around playing softball.
I don't know about that.
I think the softball, the park and rec program is providing income to the district.
It is.
So I think that risk is offset by that.
Of course, you know, you've got a park here. If somebody gets hurt in the park, you have to cover that. And not that something can't happen tomorrow or tonight, but, you know, here we've been since 2011, 8 years almost, and we've never had anybody come to us or come to the floor of the community and say, hey, you know, we've had a problem, we need insurance.
It's not the risk, it's the consequence. You know, if it just happens one time, it could be just huge. So I think that instead of speculating on that, we should actually just come, we actually should talk to our guys, our insurance company, and see if, do we have a drawing or something that we could provide to them and say, here's our trail and what would it take to...
Yeah, it's in the pack.
October meeting.
Okay. Yeah. Could we ask our insurance company to quote on that, and then we can put this off until the next meeting if that's what we need to do, because right now I'm a no.
We need to understand the cost,
right,
associated to adding extra.
And there may
property.
Not be a cost.
Yeah,
CR may say you have an umbrella.
That'd make a difference, in my opinion.
There may not be any additional
cost,
but it just seems to me that that would be information that would be necessary for both the board and the community.
Mm-hmm.
So how can you look into asking?
No problem.
Get a quote for that, and maybe it doesn't change. Like, you know, but we'd like to know.
We just need a cover.
And then can you get this back on the agenda for next meeting?
Sure.
Okay.
I just wanted to ask Monica Ciccarelli. So as much as I think that the Village Trail would be a great part of Parks and Rec, I more wanted to answer Liz. Everybody who plays softball has to sign a liability, basically the kind of
a waiver
that frees them if they die. All the way and everything in between, whereas everybody that walks the trail doesn't find something.
Thank you.
No, but there is tort reform in California. If you're in a sporting event, and this applies to ski resorts and everything else, and that's why we still have a ski resort because of that reform, and you sign that waiver, you understand the risk. That actually holds up.
Oh, it definitely holds up. I mean, there isn't anything.
Right.
I mean, Civil Code Section 1542 is alive and well, and
yeah.
It allows for parties to
get used all the time.
Execute a release of liability.
Right.
So, can we have a release of liability for everyone that walks on the trail?
That would be difficult
so.
To
that
say
would
the
be
least.
Hard to coordinate.
We could put a gate.
Respectfully wishing that you will consider all the aspects of this and what it means to the community, what it means to the kids, and all the hard work John has put in, and the rest of the committee, and some which are not here. Some have passed away, some have moved away.
But you've already said that nothing would change. If the CSD didn't take this on, the volunteer effort would still exist. You're missing John, which is a big deal, but the volunteer organization could find another John or maybe two or three people to fill in for John's place. And for us, the liability question is huge. Right now, that's not really as big a deal for you guys because, you know, what are they going to do? You're a volunteer organization.
If you're going to bring the liability issue up, then if we are the committee, John and the rest of us, then aren't we liable?
Yeah.
So we're going to all stop volunteering.
It's a problem, man.
So I want to make one comment before we move on. The liability is a concern. I'm really curious to hear what the insurance policy, you know, is for this. That said, I believe that I know the formation of the CSD was contentious. I think one of the hopeful things and one of the selling points of it was the development of Parks and Rec. And when we look at the question of what does the CSD offer this town, obviously there's a lot of work occurring here and there's a lot of great things. But Parks and Rec is something very tangible for people. And I think there's some potential for the town to see this as support for that, to have some cohesion, to have some more support for the CSD. So aside from all the bigger things, the more important reasons, I do think there is a potential win for the CSD if the liability can be contained and such. Because it's the first thing that you see in this town in terms of parks and rec, and it's the only thing that's continuous throughout the town in terms of parks and rec. And the only other facility in town that's used as much is the country club. And as we know, a lot of people in this town can't afford that, and some of the people that can't even get in because there's a wait list.
Yep.
Well, I want to thank the board for your consideration and putting it back on the agenda for next month. And, you know, I have seen, like you mentioned before, about liability, you know, under certain circumstances where a signage, you know, along a trail, you don't have to have 50 signs, but could be one at the beginning and the end or maybe one in the middle, you know, letting people know that they're responsible for walking the trail if that's an issue. Otherwise, you know, if the insurance company will cover it under your current liability and cost, why, that would be a better system.
I think we'll find out. Yeah, thank you, John.
Yeah, that makes a really good point there. Signage is helpful, certainly.
Would that provide a similar function, like when you go in a hotel swimming pool and there's no lifeguard there and it says you assume liability?
Yes, that's a really good point.
But you'll have to do that at every...
Probably, you know, where the
people start at the middle and they go off.
But I don't think that totally protects you as
with that
code. You know?
No, not totally.
Yeah.
But it's certainly helpful.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's helpful in the sense of transferring the assumption of risk. I think the question about whether or not the decision making process that individuals go in the private capacity and deciding whether to volunteer or not is a different analysis than what the board members do in managing public funds. And I think that for board members to determine what the cost and the risk factors are before moving forward is certainly an important element of what you're required to do, what you're obligated to do.
It's a different, whole different.
As part of the public trust that you have sitting at this table versus what you would decide to do if you're a volunteer.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Steve. Okay, Resolution 2018-06 for State Disability Insurance Discussion and Possible Action. Al, is this something you've been...
This is something that was brought up by Cecilia Cummings. I guess it's a state regulation that we need to adopt a resolution about state disability insurance. I'm not fully informed on what's going on, but going through the resolution, unfortunately, she couldn't be here tonight. But going through the resolution and that sort of thing, from what I understand, is that there's basically an option that the district would assume the full payment of the insurance or split it with the employee. Historically, we've been splitting it with the employee. And actually,
when you say splitting it, I mean I do this at UIA, and an employee pays a little tiny bit, and the employer pays a much bigger part of that. Is that what you mean by splitting? It's not really splitting, but
the second paragraph there, does that mean that the directors are covered? Since we're not employees, but
the materials that I saw, and they were given to me over the weekend. But the materials that I saw indicate that the application form listed the directors as well.
Okay.
And in what case would we qualify for that?
Well, you don't receive any income.
Right.
I will point out that you are entitled to receive a stipend for your work, up to 10 days of service per month. This board has chosen not to accept any payment whatsoever for your service. So I'm not sure in what case the SDI would apply.
It'd just be zero. There'd be no contribution.
But the application form did that I saw.
In case you did have that stipend.
Do we have any quote about how much this would cost for the CSD to
or is it just simply funded by the employees?
This is standard stuff for. Isn't this? I keep looking for the problem here. Isn't this? This is just standard stuff. Why isn't it already being done? I mean, it's a standard payroll deduction and contribution from the employer.
From what I understand, facility wise, this deduction to the board, basically in a formality, that that we had the resolution and we brought the application because the application, I guess, needs to be submitted, and we haven't done that yet.
Huh, okay.
So we're going to do a resolution without knowing what it's going to cost?
But I mean, I think we have to because I think it's. I mean, I always thought it was this the law, like you had to do
an automatic thing,
right? Yeah. Like, why would it? Why would it be a resolution?
So did I, and perhaps this is because of the government entity. I don't know.
There must be something different about that.
The it's not a resolution that was prepared by my office. It's a standard document. But it's not one that I'm familiar with.
I tell you, I would like to ask her. I don't think I want to do this. I mean, I would like to ask her and say, I don't understand this. Is there something buried in here I don't understand?
So we can table it until the next meeting.
Well, I hate to put it off. I hate that, but it's not making sense to me. Do you guys agree?
I would prefer to know more before.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, it's a standard deduction. Why is this standing out? Okay. Can we ask her? Like, what is this about?
Sure.
I mean, I can talk to her or something and go, why isn't this just standard stuff? Like, we don't need a resolution for this.
We should already be doing this.
Unless what I'm afraid of is like what Chuck said, is this somehow activates some super expense or something. You know, I doubt it, but it's, you know.
So we've got, three part-time employees.
None of the actions we've made to the board is what was conveyed to me.
Okay.
We're already doing this. This is considered a formality to maintain the priority.
Okay. Okay, so that'll go on next month, so then we'll ask her, the accountant, what's going on there. And she wrote this? Her office wrote that resolution?
I don't know if
it's standard.
I think it's standard resolution.
It's
a boilerplate thing.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think she wrote it.
Okay. Okay, item 11, resolution 2018-07, public review and copy of district's records. Discussion and possible action, Steve.
Sure, I'll take this one. And I did write this resolution. And that's why it's pretty much unintelligible to the mic. No. So if you don't mind, I'll run through it real quickly.
Okay.
As the board is aware, the your public agency is subject to the California Public Records Act. What the act says is it makes a general statutory statement that all records of the district are public documents available to the public for inspection and copy. It makes that sort of broad statement. And then from there, it lists a number of exceptions. And as is typical, the exceptions in a lot of ways swallow the general rule. There's probably over 100 exceptions to that general rule. And that includes attorney-client privilege documents, draft documents, litigation strategy, real estate appraisals, that kind of thing. There are a number of different exceptions that apply. So what we've tried to do with respect to this resolution is build in the a policy that would comply and implement the statutory requirements of the California Public Records Act.
Okay.
So section 1.2 talks about what if an individual requests a document from the district that what is expected of that request, so that specifically that the document requested is described in a reasonable and particular way. You are not required as a district to create any documents in response to a Public Records Act request. Mm. You are required to to provide existing documents, but you're not required to create anything in response to a request.
Hmm. Okay.
You cannot ask what the reason for the request is, why that's requested. It's just assumed that as part of, as a public agency, that
you just do it. Yeah. Okay.
And so 1.3 talks about what the obligation of district staff is when a request is made, and that is to assist the requesting party in reasonably identifying the document that they're seeking. A lot of times what you will see with public agencies is because the public agency has the ability to categorize its documents in the way it wants, that's it's an unfair advantage for a public agency in asking the requesting party to particularly describe a document, because they wouldn't know how that document is described, the staff would. So what the legislature has done is say, okay, you really need to kind of figure out what is being requested and then help the requesting party narrow that request into something that, that they want. And okay. Moving on, 1.4, the speaker that was talking when I first got here, made some good points about documents that should be readily available. And I think moving forward, certainly by the statutory deadline of January 1, but as soon as possible, there should be some documents that should be immediately available to the public. Agendas, minutes, budget documents, those should be immediately available, preferably on your website. So that the public can access those immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Through the Public Records Act, my suggestion is that if an individual comes in and asks for those documents, that those documents...
We can just point to the website and say...
Point to the website, or those documents are immediately available. There isn't an analysis that goes with whether or not it is exempt or not exempt. Those should be immediately available. And so that's identified in 1.4.
Okay.
1.5 is the form that is Exhibit A. And so it's a form that we prepared that would be a requesting party could use to seek documents. Now, a requesting party is not bound by that form, but it's one that has been prepared to, for their assistance. Once that request is given, the district has 10 days in which to respond. That's 10 calendar days. And that's contained in 1.6.
In which, and by respond, you mean to fulfill the request.
To either fulfill the request by providing the documents or indicating that the documents requested are exempt from disclosure, or to provide those that are available and redact the information that would be not disclosable. So that time period, though, can be extended for an additional 14 days under unique circumstances. So it's a very short window of time. And that's covered in 1.6 and 1.7. And also actually 1.8 and 1.9.
Okay. All right. This is good.
Going on to page 36, really section 3 of the resolution. I think we've had some previous conversations about this. Board member communications regarding district business. Those are public documents. There's a recent case that came out about 6 months, 9 months ago, the San Jose case, that held that even if it's on your private devices, if you're emailing on your private email address, or you're texting regarding district business, so there's no expectation of privacy with respect to that. Those are all communications that are accessible by the public. So for that reason, what the district has done is create email addresses for all of the board members and for staff.
Mm-hmm.
And any electronic communications should be done through that vehicle and not through any of your private vehicles. Yeah.
And so I've specifically done that, nothing on my phone, et cetera, because I know we discussed this last June or July.
Yes.
That said, I continually get emailed on my personal, on a couple other personal email accounts from people asking about CSD business. What I do is respond to them and say, please contact me at this address, the CSD address. But every time I get one of those emails, I'm concerned. Is that putting then that email account, which I do not use for CSD business, at risk of being up for review?
Yes.
And if so, how do I stop that? Because
so
like my co-op email should not be have anything to do with this, and yet that's where people reach me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a very good question. And what we've tried to do, and that was sort of an open issue left after the San Jose case, which really kind of threw everyone in a spiral because that was a very, the result was not expected. And so what agencies have done, what we've tried to do through this document is creating the Exhibit C that you see there, which is that you've done your best to isolate out all of the district-related communications. And so if you receive a public records request that delves into your communications, then what you would do is you would provide that information to staff and fill out the Exhibit C document, which is a declaration indicating under penalty of perjury that the documents, that there are no documents that are in your private texting device or email address that relating to district business that hasn't been provided. I would probably suggest that if you, when you respond, and I don't know if you do this, when you respond back to an individual on your private email address regarding district business, that you CC your Wrightwood CSD account.
Because then it would just be there.
Then it goes there,
yeah.
And
yeah.
So that you wouldn't yeah. have, it wouldn't have to be, no one would have to go through all of your private stuff.
Because it would be copied on your
public
stuff. Would it be
stuff.
A better safeguard for me to, instead of responding from my personal account, to forward it to my CSD address and respond from there?
Sure, that's even better. That's even better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
And one last thing that I forgot to mention, costs. So the Exhibit B document is a schedule of fees that would apply for a request.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as part of a requesting party can either ask to inspect the documents for which there's no fee, or would ask for a copy of, or could ask for a copy of documents. If a copy is prepared, then the schedule of fees that are set forth in Exhibit B would be the fees that the district could charge as a condition of providing those documents. Now, under the cases that have interpreted the Public Records Act, the district is not permitted to recover the costs associated with retrieving the documents, Al's time in finding the documents, assembling the documents, getting them all together. Those are costs that are not recoverable. The district can only recover the actual costs associated with the copy. So the paper, the cost of the machine, presumably even the cost of operating the machine. So what you see there are very low costs, and they're only intended to cover the actual costs with respect to providing duplicates of existing records. Not the cost, so not Al's cost associated with retrieving the material.
Would these be the standard rates?
Those are more or less the standard rates.
Meaning, I thought you said earlier something that you could do this, or does that mean that we wouldn't have to charge some people?
No, you don't. You're not obligated to charge anyone. I think you. In fact, I believe that you have had requests before, and they're. Most of those documents have been provided, I believe. I don't know that the district is.
Well, all I'm saying is that if we can or can't, doesn't that open us up to, well, I don't like him, so I'm going to charge him, but these other people, you know, they can have it for free. Does that, you know, throw anything into us or not?
Well, I mean, I guess there could be that allegation. I would certainly argue that if, as long as
I would hope we wouldn't, but
yeah, I think that there's obviously you wouldn't want any discrimination in how you
right.
are implementing your
that's policy. The only reason I ask is it seems like it would be safer just to make it standard straight across the board.
Or
could we put a stipulation in about, you know, up to a certain number of pages? Like, if you're asking for a document that's 4 or 5 pages long, that's one thing. If you're asking for
hundreds of pages. I think you just charge everybody the same,
yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, be consistent.
It seems that would be,
easy.
Yeah.
We didn't have this policy before, so we didn't charge for the flash drives and stuff that were consumed, but, you know, I mean, they weren't very much, so it's no big deal. But you have a comment?
I got a couple quick comments.
Can you state your name, please?
Once again, my name is Josh Wolf. I did request some public records in the past, so I have an immediate knowledge of this. So the current fee schedule does not actually mention the flash drive, which is what I was provided for my first request, and I believe my most recent request was flash drive available. So I think it does.
It says actual cost.
It's the third from the bottom.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's fine. At the same time, I think it's important that when a request asks for the records to be provided via email or electronically, although I may have said electronically and not intended to get a flash drive, that most requests these days, in my knowledge, come through email requests. And you're not allowed as an agency to charge for the cost of sending the emails. So my concern around the issues of charging for these copying fees is that most of the people...
Well, there's no mention of email on here.
Actually, there is.
There is?
Yeah. It's
1.12.
I missed it. There's a...
It's a not on the
an
cost.
Exhibit B.
It's not on the cost list.
It's section 1.12, page 35. If any request for a district record relates to a record in an electronic format, the district will make the record available in any electronic format in which it holds that record or in the format requested if the requested format is one that the district has used to make copies for its own use. However, the district will not release any record in electronic format if that release would jeopardize or compromise the security or integrity of the original record or of any proprietary software in which the record is maintained.
No, I meant to say there's no cost associated with the email on the price list.
Right, because there's no cost.
Right. And I think that's what you're arguing, right?
Well, no, what I'm trying to say is that for me, filing records requests as someone who grew up on the Internet, I can ask for them in email, and it's easy for me. But some of our older residents who don't have email or aren't comfortable with email, we're essentially charging them a 25-cent per page tax because they don't have those computer skills, and I don't know how much at the end of the year those costs of duplication are actually going to be, but we're probably not talking very much money, and I'm not sure that we really want to make it an expense that our older residents have to shoulder, and our younger residents just ask for it by email, and we can search and utilize it however we see fit.
Hey, I think the older folks are more capable than you think.
I'm not trying to say that not everyone in Raywood can use email. Maybe they can. I'm just trying to say that if anyone doesn't want email, it's probably not someone in their 20s or 30s. That's my only point. In terms of this actual rule that we've created here, this proposed ordinance, I think most of it looks great. I am a little confused about why there isn't a call for an index of records in the first place, because an index of records is a very powerful tool, not only to keep your records as an agency.
Well, it would be on the website. So when you say an index of records, I guess I need that defined.
Sure. An index of records would be an index of all records maintained by the CSD. So
a printed index, or what are we talking here?
I mean, let me just lower this.
Because it would be on the website, right? So.
I mean, on the current draft of the website, there is not an index of records, but maybe that's coming soon.
No, that would be on there. It's the content's not loaded yet.
Sure, but the way that an index of records works is, so I serve on the Sunshine Task Force in San Francisco, so I actually am on the quasi-judiciary group that determines whether or not public records requests are legitimately public, and we deal with that when that's challenged. So I have a lot of experience with this, and one of the things that's most useful in really sorting out what is available and what and getting the people the access to what they're looking for is an index of records, so that it has a list of, well, we have all of these emails, we have all these ordinances, we have these policy statements that are public documents, but they're not actually ordinances, and so that you can just request the index of records and know what types of records you're looking for, because right now, basically the way the law's written is, it's Al's responsibility to help me figure out what I'm asking for, and if the CSD creates a document that serves as a sort of legend so that I know what I'm looking for, it takes the onus off of Al of having to help me figure out what it is I'm looking
okay.
for.
Okay, I think it's a decent comment for a much larger organization. This is going to be very easy to find something, believe me. This is a very small.
Is this like a table of contents?
Yeah, exactly. It's an index search that somebody has to maintain and categorize everything and cross-check everything. But that's okay. That's okay.
I mean, I would contend that based on my most recent records request, there appears to be records that I requested that I neither received notice as to why they were not turned over or the records themselves. So I would hazard to say that there is a need. Even as small as our CSD is,
yeah, everything that existed was turned over.
I will call you off so that we're not having that conversation in the record. But I can make
okay.
a list of the documents that I missed.
Okay.
So, Steve, is there something in here where if somebody doesn't want to pay to have the copies and they don't have a computer where they can do it, can they come in and review the records here at no cost?
Yep.
Great.
Cool. All right. Okay. I mean, I like the resolution. Is there any other questions?
No, I think it looks good.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't have any questions.
Is there a current need for all of us to fill out a Exhibit C?
No.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Can I have a motion to accept the resolution 2018-07?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor of accepting the resolution, say aye.
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 All those opposed, motion carries. Sign the resolution. All right, next item. Item 12, Snowline Players Facility Use Proposal, Discussion and Possible Action. Is that you, Al?
Well, kind of.
Okay.
At the request of the board, I met with the line players, Cheryl Buckle and Laura Steinman. And we discussed what the current fee structure was for the company. We also discussed some of the things that may have changed or may change. Unfortunately, a lot of that discussion is not in this letter that came directly from Cheryl.
And Cheryl's not here tonight?
No.
She's not here tonight. And basically,
is she requesting
the discussion, we talked about the possibilities of doing more performances here. She's off to have a lot of her practices done somewhere else at another facility down in Pinion Hills.
Because this is, I mean, to be clear, this is the adult Snowline Player, right?
Correct.
Yeah, this is the adult Snowline Player thing.
Can I clarify that a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay, so I've been on the board for Snowline Players, and there is no one representing them tonight, but Snowline Players itself, the nonprofit charter that they have, includes the entire program. That said, Laura and I have been running the children's program basically independent of the overarching Snowline Players for the past several years. So,
and it has the same
kids
name.
Program, it has the same name,
okay.
And we are under that nonprofit charter. But when we collect dues for the kids' programs, that's all supposed to go to the kids' shows and such. So, financially, in theory, we are operating separate. But at present, there is no actual distinction made, it's all under the one guise of Snowline Players.
Okay. And are they asking for a waiver then? Is that what?
Well, what they're asking for, because we have our normal rate structure that the board adopted here back, this is their. The variance, the current variance, because they presented a variance last month, and that was basically tabled because of the potential of having this discussion that I've referred to. And from that point, what you see in front of you is what Cheryl Buckle, who is the president of Solar Players, is basically proposing to the board as the variant.
Do we know how long their rehearsals go? Is it a 2 hour, a 1 hour, a 4 hour per day that they use it? Do we know how long?
Rehearsals vary.
Two to 3 hours. Occasionally you'll have a Saturday or a weekend rehearsal.
Okay.
That's longer.
And do we know how many dates? Once a week? Three times a week?
Two
a week, every week? So, yeah, that's 8 a month, that type of thing?
That's for the kids' program, though, right? The adult shows tend to practice more than that.
They can be up to 3 times a week.
Okay.
Yeah, the adult shows are...
They look at the calendar and take the date.
Right. And what they're requesting is if they net under $1,000, and that's net, I guess, under $1,000, they'd be willing to pay $100.
Sure.
So they could have, what, 8 a month and... 96, you know, whatever, so we pay a dollar type of thing. And if they go, if the net is over 1,000, they pay the 20% or 200.
Which I think, I think this is the existing deal. This is the existing deal, isn't
well,
it?
Well, it's gone up a little bit.
The existing deal, basically is, it's basically $100 or 10% of the gross.
Right, that's what the existing was.
Okay.
Net.
This is net now.
Okay. This is what her proposal is.
Right.
Net?
Yeah.
I think we've got some confusion, quite honestly, about net versus gross.
Why would we ever agree to net?
Come back and present it to us?
What?
Where is Cheryl?
Come and present it to us?
I don't know why Cheryl's not here tonight. But
and in the other paragraph up above, it says, musical in Apple Valley, due to the Snowline USD pricing us out of the PAC, I'm not sure what that is. Oh, okay, at Serrano.
At Serrano, right.
What was their price? Why were they priced out? And are we supposed to pick it up for the tri-community, the residents of Brightwood?
No, I think they need this place for practice, but it's too small to perform the play.
Okay.
And so they actually perform the play somewhere else.
Or some places.
Once
I think all of them. I think the kids do it here, but none of the adult ones are here.
Well, it depends on who directs. I cannot recall a show Cheryl directed that has been here. However, when Laura directs the show, her shows are always here.
Right.
So.
Okay.
When basically,
Ron directed one that was at Eric Simon's property, the Shakespeare show, it was a great venue for that a few years ago, and then he's done a couple radio shows that have been here, but those are fundraising events. They're not something where you're rehearsing for months and then putting on a show. It's more come together for a couple of nights to make sure people know their cues to get on and off stage, and then we cook a dinner and hope to raise money. Musical is never held here because there is a complaint. Cheryl wants to do a large musical and it doesn't fit on the stage.
Right.
And Serrano is very expensive. And they charge you for everything, including not just the space, but you're paying the person who's there.
So is Serrano more than $13.50 an hour?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, by far.
But basically what they're saying is, we'll pay you $100 if it's under $1,000 net. Okay. Well, they're not going to be over $1,000. They're not going to be over $1,000 for the 20%. So basically what you're saying is, we'll give it to you guys for $100 flat out, no matter how many times you use it a year. Because they're not talking about, well, $100 for the month or $100
per show.
Thing.
It is per show.
Well, how many rehearsals per show?
Yes, but it is per show. It's not one time for the year.
Let's, you know, sit what's really going on here. because you're not going to net over $1,000 on these things.
You're absolutely not going to net over $1,000.
No, that ain't going to happen. So for them to present something that says 20%, you know, hey, that's great. You know, they're raising their thing. It ain't going to happen. And, you know, and the fact is, you can't even bill them or collect until after the show. So, you know, it's...
I think there is community value here, but I'm disappointed that Cheryl's not here to make those points.
If we were ever to adopt something like this, Steve, for any group, a pay structure like this, how would we be asking the group to document their profit?
It's just the honor system here.
Yeah, what you would typically see is it would be an honor system with the ability for the district to audit. And then if the audit revealed that there was under collection or under payment to the district, then there would be a penalty associated with that.
Yeah.
That's typically what
just
you
be the honor system. Yeah. Yeah,
and of the adults, Michelle, are the majority of those Wrightwood residents, or are they tri-community, or do we even know?
Well, quite frankly, that depends on who's directing the show. The reality is that it's pretty easy to get kids to come and participate in stuff. And at least since I've been involved in the Snowline Players, and I haven't been in a show in several years, but when I was in shows, it's a lot harder to get adults to come out and do it because you're giving up your nights and all the rest of it. So it really is dependent on who's directing, because a lot of times the hold auditions, you might be able to cast the show. Sometimes you cast half the show and then you get on the phone. And I've gotten a few calls from Laura. Hey, you want to be in the show? And men are much more in demand. So based on that, if the person who's directing the show lives in Wrightwood and their community of people is Wrightwood, more Wrightwood people end up in the show.
Right.
If the person directing does not live in Wrightwood, we tend to end up with a show that is much heavier with tri-community and on out into Victorville and Apple Valley.
Yeah, I wish they would have more shows here. I mean, isn't that better community value?
To me,
the actual show was here.
Yes, and I support.
I mean, we're supplying the practice.
It has to be here.
So they're practicing here, and then they take it on the road somewhere else.
I don't see how we can provide anything for something that's not directly benefiting the Wrightwood community. So
right.
I think that there are actually a couple of different discussions potentially with the Snowline Players.
I would like to pass on this, and Cheryl can come and make your argument.
So my recommendation would be that the word net has to be changed to gross.
Yes, but I
don't know if you're going to meet with her again or not, but
the
net's got to be gross, and then I think we've
what do you guys,
progress. We've got to separate shows that
it's disappointing,
are
disappointing, and I think it needs to be here.
Yeah.
And someone needs to be here.
Shows
need to be here.
Yeah. We need that.
Then more people would come out and see this, and more participation for the community.
Okay, all right. So it's we're not going to take any action on this, and she needs to do a better job. Needs to come to the meeting and.
If you speak to Cheryl Al, it would be great. I'm no longer on the board, but it would be great to request that somebody, specifically her, is here to represent and to be able to answer the questions, because I can't speak to the last 3 years of leadership and such.
And I'd like to know, who's directing it for the purpose of, are these Wrightwood residents, that we're supporting, or are we supporting the tribe?
I don't know that we should be that provincial. I mean, it's really, we should have the plays here, but, making a test for if you're in Wrightwood or not as a member of the play, that's a little much. We're digging into their business way too much.
Well, why don't they do it in Serrano? They don't have a problem. All of a sudden it's too expensive for them, but it's not for us.
I
don't think that's right either.
Would be of some use to the board to see the financials on a couple of shows, one of them at least being one of the big shows they've done, maybe the one last year in Apple Valley, to see what the costs were, what the profit was, so we have an idea of
Okay.
Of how that money.
All right, we're passing on this thing, so let's move on. Okay, let's move on. So we've got item 13, Caltrans State Highway 2 widening, discussion of possible action. And this came up on a couple of emails from Hank Hallmark and Tom Pinard, that there's that bridge on Highway 2 that crosses the wash over there, and Caltrans is going to replace that bridge, and they're going to widen it. But there's no pedestrian part on the bridge. There's no pathway there for pedestrians, and this is getting people excited. You know, they'd like to see a pedestrian path on there. I don't know what the CSD can really do other than to write a letter and say we'd really like that, because we have no powers over that. We have no road powers. We have no...
Can we put a letter in the paper?
I mean, yeah, sure. Steve could do that. Steve could write... He could write up an article right now.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
No, I think that what they want is the support of the CSD, and that support looks like
I don't know
a letter saying, you know,
if somebody wants to write a letter and have me sign it, I'll do it. But I don't have time.
Right.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, John.
Yes, you have those two documents in front of you. I generated those through Caltrans.
Yeah.
They want to widen the Sheep Creek Bridge. It'll only still be two lanes, and without going into a great deal of detail, three or four of us, Tom Pinard, you mentioned, have asked Caltrans over a year ago to, on the south side, give us a walking path section of that bridge, and they have declined. And they said because they need to get the bridge done this year. Now you'll see on that document that
in December,
when I requested it a couple of weeks ago, no, we're not going to do it in August of 2018. We're going to wait till probably spring of next year. So we're talking, you know, 8 or 9 months away. And they could have gotten the environmental impact report or whatever else was required to see if they couldn't widen it. To see if they couldn't add the additional walking path. That would be a continuation of the Wrightwood Village Trail in the future, and so that would be something to consider. So what we would like, if you're saying, Wes, that we, the community, needs to write a letter and that you would sign it as a representative.
Yeah, I'd like to see, you know, I don't know a lot about the issue. I don't know a lot about the history.
Or,
yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. It's going to take him.
He's already written a few.
It turns out he knows how to do that.
Yeah. I'll have him forward a letter to you in the next.
That'd be great.
Hours.
That'd be great.
Thank you.
Okay.
If I may.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Steve.
Would that letter be brought back to the board for for approval?
Yes.
So you have to wait another month?
Yes. It's government.
It's amazing.
It's 2 years for construction.
Yeah. It's amazing. That bridge is going to cost $3 million to widen the bridge, which will still be two lanes. But apparently it's falling apart, so that's why they're working on it. And there will be 8-foot paved shoulders on each side, but we asked them to put, you know, on one side, give us a walking path. And that bridge is going to take 2 years to construct. 2 years, $3 million.
Wow.
So, you know, a little additional 5-foot walking path.
It's going to be nice.
Seems like that'd be a good idea.
Yeah.
Right. Carbon fiber bridge. All right. Okay, so you'll get that on the agenda for next month. Yeah, okay. Okay. Item 14, director's comments. Let's start from this side over here. Any directors coming?
I'd be happy to start.
Okay.
Just a little reflection of what has happened over the last 12 months. This is our 13th month. We've had 12 months under the CSD as far as the board and the community taking care of the CSD. The water bill goes from $700 down to $350. A little quick recap.
Yeah.
The last 4 weeks, I've spent many hours watching softball. We've had 12 teams. There's about 150 people that go through the softball little league over here. It's unbelievable to see. When you sit back and look at
what the CSD board has done and what we've and what we're going to do the next 1, 2, 3, 4 years, it's unbelievable to see what has come about the CSD. And thanks to Natalie and Monica, she's back there. But there's a lot of great things that we've done here as a board, and it's just sitting back and watching the community at just a softball co-ed team where they get all beat up. It's unbelievable. So I just wanted to do a quick little recap of how fortunate that I live here in Wrightwood, that we've got the CSD board, and some of the great things that we are doing for the community here.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't know how to follow up on that one, but thank you so much, everyone in the community, for being here with us the last this past year. But I'm just going to talk about softball. As Leo said, it's been going very well, and we've had a lot of inquiries already about having a fall ball league. So Al and I spoke today, and we looked back at the original proposal that Monica and I brought up, and we had approved a potential for 4 seasons. So Monica and I would like, along with Al and Michelle and everybody on the board, to start planning for fall ball. So I just wanted to see if the board was okay with that. I think it's already approved, but I didn't really know how to approach it. But we would like to maybe start mid-September and do the same, you know, 9-game season for fall ball. Does anyone have any questions or comments on that?
Sounds great to me.
No,
it's fine. Al, staff, does that sound okay?
We're here to serve.
All right. Thank
okay.
you.
All right. All right. I don't have any comments. Chuck?
Yeah, I want to, in our disbursement package, we had the financials from our CPA stating July 2017 to May of 2018. And you also had a profit and loss from the same time period. A couple points. On the profit and loss, we're showing $198,000 net income profit at that moment in time through May. And I know we keep talking about, you know, we got to watch the budget and the whole bit. And if I'm reading this and look at $198,000 and we only got 1 month left, you know, do we really have to watch as carefully as we talked about before?
Yes, we do.
I think so, but I'm just saying.
Well, no, this obviously isn't.
This isn't, you know, finalized. Yeah. You look at, I've been at a meeting with Al and.
Plus, I will point out that we have, you know, another 5 months or 6 months before we get revenue again.
Right, I understand that.
Yeah.
But we also, if you look at budget versus actuals, we have the first line up here is income, facility rental, and it says $14,620.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says Wrightwood Community Center, $2,200. I'm not sure where that is and why that isn't in the 14, but we had asked Cecilia to break down where that $14,000 came from, what organizations are paying for facility rentals.
I have a question on that. Al, is that when people do pay the rent, is that entered into QuickBooks? That transaction.
Now that we have QuickBooks up and running the last month or two.
So you should be a sense, and is every transaction entered into QuickBooks that way? So Snowline says here's $2 or whatever it is.
Yeah,
so
we should
that transaction is in there.
Yeah.
So you should be able to produce that report that breaks it down month by month. You can chop and slice and dice it any way you want.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And the
so Al should be able to supply that.
I don't care where it comes from. I've just been asking for it for a few months.
Well, I wanted to make sure we had the process right.
Yeah, the CPA, you know,
was
asked specifically, you know, to break that down. And
can you break that down and bring that to the next meeting? Can we have a list of just, you can dump it out in Excel and say, here it is month by month.
But is it just the last 4 to 6 weeks of QuickBooks, or do you have it all the way going back?
We just have QuickBooks starting June.
Well,
it's just June.
Okay, but so the accountant didn't say, hey, let's go back and let's put all these things in since since last year, which wouldn't be that hard.
It wouldn't be
that hasn't said that.
There wouldn't be that many transactions.
No.
You wouldn't think.
No. Can we do that?
If we have time.
The other thing,
yeah.
Wes, was we had asked her for her invoice. We haven't gotten it unless it came in this last week. We haven't gotten an invoice from Cecilia, the incoming CPA. Don't know. The only thing under the, it's where Steve's at. What is that? Professional services is Steve's. And we still haven't gotten anything from her. I told her if it doesn't come in, and I appreciate her donating her time, but, you know, I'd like to see an invoice.
I'm sure you would do that, Steve.
Sure.
You know, that.
So we've requested an invoice from her, and we have gotten it, or what?
Yes. The last meeting I had with her and Al, I specifically requested we need to get that invoice in. What do we owe? You know, what's it costing us? Don't know.
Okay.
You know, and the list of the people. Now, the other thing which I'd like to see is, and I talked to Al about this, was I was going through, you know, the organizations that rent the building, and I noticed that line dancing is free. And when I asked Al, he said they were grandfathered in by the county. And, you know, it's we had a big hoofla with the Lions Club, who had a contract, supposedly, because we never saw any paperwork, with the county. Steve, I didn't know the county, after they ceded it to the CSD board, that the county could grandfather organizations in for no cost. Is that true?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, and then, so to follow that up, if in fact, you know, they're getting their 2 hours a week for free, I thought that variance was supposed to be voted on by the board.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's not happening. And, you know, it's like, I'm not out to get anybody. You know, if the board decides they should get it, you know, we've done it for the kids. We've done it for the young adults. Maybe we need to do it for the senior citizens. But it's still, I'm coming from the procedure. And it's still
okay,
the board.
Okay, let's just ask. Al, did we have an agreement with the line dancing folks, and is it $0?
Well, currently it's been $0 ever since the district was formed.
Who runs it?
Yeah, but that I don't remember seeing that on the report.
No.
Of all the. Do we have a current agreement with? Do we have a signed agreement that they're renting the facility? You know, as of.
I don't think we have a signed agreement.
No. Okay.
The assumption that we're going to have to
put. Well, let's just make it clear that. That the agreement is that you need to get a waiver from the board. It needs to come before the board. You need to get a waiver for anything other than the standard fee. Okay? So I just want to make sure we're clear on that. And let's get that line dancing. Let's get them a waiver. Let's get it before the board and all that stuff next month if that's what we're going to do. Yeah.
And is there any other organizations that we're not seeing?
Some people aren't aware of. Now,
okay.
Line dancers, basically, I looked at them as that they were part of the Park and Recreation Department. It seemed to be that way before Kitchell. And so, just maintaining that, like they were part of Park and Recreation.
I think if they're renting the place, that's the agreement. I don't see any variance in that. It's that they're renting the place or using the facilities. If they're going to pay anything other than the standard fee, they need to get a waiver. Okay, and they need to present their case and get a waiver just like everybody else. Okay.
And I would like to see as an agenda item the Cecilia or QuickBooks, whichever one you know that we want to use. Profit loss and whatever, where we go. We know we have other expenses out there. We know that we've spent on the disbursement page, we had a lot of cards. So I assume we haven't gotten the monthly bill yet or whatever. So that money is going to be thrown in someplace. We know we've got the election. We know we've got things with CSA 56, you know, issues that are out there. That's fine. But I hate seeing, you know, that kind of money. And, yes, we're not going to get that much, you know, initially, you know, July, this month, whatever. So you can't go down on that. But it, for me, it's hard to say, you know, pour them out and we got to manage the budget a whole bit when I'm looking at almost $200,000 in cash flow.
No, obviously it's not. So, it's not recorded right.
You know, that's it. So it just gets frustrating. You'd like to see the information, and the fact that you can't even get an invoice from our CPA is not really great for me.
You know, one thing you may, I'm not sure, I don't recall where the board is on this, but one of the most important things that you get is an audit. I mean, that's one of the
right.
most important things. And I don't know if the board has retained anyone to perform that service for you. I don't know if the board has retained anyone to perform that audit service or not.
I don't think, yeah, I think Al was still researching that. With
no, I think we get a free audit from somebody, right?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
If you recall two back, I mentioned that the county had contacted me, and since CSA 56 is being audited for their part of the year, that the same firm was the audit through the county, and at that point, it was to be at no cost.
Right. When is that audit required? When is it due?
There is no time in which it's due, but it is required. An annual audit is an absolute requirement. That's one of the biggest.
So any time after a year.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be done within a reasonable time. But
yeah, okay.
The time frame isn't specific.
Okay.
And I was going to contact them as one of my duties within the next week or so. Contact them and A, see if they had a timeline for the audit, and also see what they would want us to provide them, and, you know, what sort of a format, if there's a format that they want, everything, you know, to make the whole process easier.
Okay.
So first, who, what entity or who leads line dancing? Who is the contact person?
Charlotte.
Okay, thank you. And then I had a couple questions on the same documents Chuck was talking about. I'm confused about the line items in the. So the first one, budgets versus actuals, page 12. On income, it lists Snelling Christian Academy, Snelling Players, and Tri Community Club, and then says deleted. What is the significance of?
Where are you at?
I'm on page 12.
On page 12.
The top it says budget versus actuals.
I see the three that
you're
talking about now.
So there's only three of us left, but then it says deleted.
I don't know what you mean by that.
And then why is that separate from Wrightwood Community Center at the bottom? Because
I
know at least for the co-op, the only thing I'm paying, I mean, to this organization is for rental use, so that seems like it would be in the community center total, or else it would all be itemized? Or am I misunderstanding the report?
I don't have the answer to that.
Okay. Thank you. I would love an answer to that. And then the next question is on page 15, same report. And forgive me if this has already been covered, but under income, what's the difference between facility rental and Wrightwood Community Center?
I don't know.
I would have understood if the numbers were reversed.
I'm sorry, what page is that on?
Page 15.
I think what he's referring to, Wrightwood Community Center, is actually
top of the page.
Is actually what?
We mean here.
That would make more sense. Okay.
I think that's what it is.
Okay, so she's trying to say museum and the facility rental is this facility, right?
Correct.
Okay.
And the other thing that we could ask her, Al, is on her budget versus actuals and whatever, I noticed on your portion of disbursements, you had the softball revenue and you also had some expenses for the softball.
Right.
which is great, but it's not showing up on hers, and we specifically asked her to include line items for...
Well, this is through May.
Right, but we asked her to put in a Parks and Rec, even if it's May and there was nothing there for Parks and Rec. But the reality is we've got a yoga studio that's under Parks and Rec that we've had some expenses on already. So I'm asking for a line item, that's all, and we had asked her at that meeting.
Yeah, but I mean, to be fair, Chuck, it doesn't apply right now, right? I mean, because...
But can we have that on the next report along with can she fix the community center and museum labeling? And then we can get that on the next report, right? So when we meet in August, then her next report contains Parks and Rec.
And other things, yes.
Okay, all right.
And thanks to both of you for all your work on the dump cards and the playground. I know that was not fun.
One last.
Okay, item 16, communications. I don't remember what we ever do on this. It's always on here.
Well, yeah, I think it's selected documents from the general manager that might have interest to the board. It's certainly not intended to be
okay.
Every piece of correspondence that comes into the business.
I got you.
I think there might have been some confusion with respect to that agenda item by some individuals. It's FYI that the general manager has.
Okay, it put something in there, huh? Okay.
Well, that was the sexual harassment training that they're offering the statewide, and it's the 18th. It's in the morning, 9 to 12. It's $25 an individual, and I believe, Steve, you had said way back when that we all had to take it, a course, sexual harassment prevention.
You are required to take an AB 1234 course for ethics training, which I think we
did the ethics. Yeah.
Yes. With respect to sexual harassment prevention training, that requirement applies to entities with over 50 employees. You do not have 50 employees. However, that being said, I do believe it's good policy and good practice for board members and staff to take that, to have that training. I think it provides, in the event of any situation, the fact that the district has that as a policy provides a chance in the event of any potential.
But there's no timetable in us having.
You're supposed to take it every 2 years.
Right.
And so my suggestion would be to do that. But again, it's not a legal requirement.
The only reason I brought it to Al's attention was because this is the cheapest I've seen that program offered. You know, $25 per, you know, attendee. And they go up to $150, $200 some of these trainings.
Now, if somebody wants to attend, I'm going to present the contact me ASAP, because I believe that $25 needs to be paid in advance.
Yes, it does.
So, I would need to know ahead of time.
Okay.
Okay, if there's nothing else, meetings.
There was an agenda item for future board meetings and agenda items.
Right.
Oh, how did I miss that? Okay. Sorry.
And just a reminder that every year you have to readopt your solid waste fee. So we will have a public hearing in your next meeting in which you will be readopting those resolutions. And
okay.
And then all that material has to be resubmitted to the county by August 10th. Every year you have to do that. Even though there will be no increase in the amount, it's an annual readoption of that. So it's not a Prop 218 issue.
You're talking about the property tax assessment?
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. You got to do all that tricky file format stuff and get it submitted to them.
It needs to be refiled every year by August 10th.
Yeah.
For both San Bernardino and LA.
Yeah.
Here's the calendar.
What's the date?
Our next board meeting would be August 7th.
Well, we have to get that taxes. August 10th is a deadline, but we have to get it in before that. I got experience with this.
So we'll have a special meeting.
Should we not have a special board meeting
ASAP on that?
I don't know. How long does it take to get that?
I can produce the.
It's already been done.
Well, I can produce the files and everything. Well, there's been some changes from last year, okay? Because there's just some things I learned about it. So,
well, you're talking about the
actual file submission, the actual thing you have to do. That's due by August 10th.
That's due by August 10th. The resolution needs. You can't file that without the resolution. And
right.
The resolution needs to be.
You should do that soon, like really soon.
Yeah, I don't know what the time frame is between. We have to notice it up at the public hearing.
Yeah, we should do that now because it's. I mean, it just gets away from it, and you have to deal with submitting it to them, and they're overworked, and it just everything goes way slower than you want.
Okay. Well, that's up to the board. That's why I'm bringing it.
How much leeway do we have for the notice of the public hearing? Is that 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Okay. For a special?
So I think we have to have a special meeting.
Okay. Yeah, we're talking. Chuck's hearing a different thing. The public hearing notice is for the public hearing. Special meeting, the agenda for the special meeting only needs to be posted 24 hours in advance.
Right.
Okay. If a public hearing is going to be on that agenda, notice of that public hearing needs to be published
2 weeks.
2 weeks in advance.
Okay.
We should schedule it now, yeah.
Well,
we should schedule a special.
With a 2 week notice, if it's
1 week out,
put into the Mountain Air on the 19th, that brings us to August 7th. But it's going to end on Canada on August 7th,
okay.
Our next meeting. Unless we could do something a little bit prior to that, around 5 seconds or something like that.
More time, the better.
Because
you have to deal with.
We can get in tomorrow's paper if we get it tomorrow morning.
Okay, can we do that?
It'll be on the 12th.
I can prepare the notice.
Could you? Okay.
We did this last year
and it was a miracle. I hate to keep depending on that.
Yeah, my recollection is that you adopted it in August though, and you were able to get it done. Because I remember but
it was a special favor and me begging on my knees at LA County. I mean, it was really
it was
dicey.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
Well, if we get it in on the 12th,
for 11 o'clock, if possible.
Well, I mean, that would get in.
That get into the 12th paper.
12th, so that would be the 19th. It would get published on the 12th.
Yeah.
And then the 19th, and then we could have a special meeting on...
The 26th.
The 26th.
Okay, let's do that.
And then that leaves over 2 weeks.
Perfect.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Thank you, Steve, for doing that.
Yeah.
So what was the final outcome?
Could we give the dates again of what we're doing?
Thursday,
the 26th. At
what time? 7.
I will not be present for that meeting.
Okay.
On the 26th, nor will I.
Oh.
With quorum 3.
Yeah.
Would we still have time if we, moved it to the next Tuesday or something?
I'm gone until essentially our next meeting. I'm gone to the next for quite a while.
The 3 of us could do it.
The 3 of us could do it for this, as long as nobody gets sick.
So July 26th, 7 p.m., that's the special meeting.
Yeah,
and our normal meeting is August 7th.
Yeah.
I'll be back for that.
Okay, that's good. Did you get that, John?
And you want the special meeting, Wes?
The special meeting, August 7th.
And the special meeting is in the here.
Yeah. Is it? Are we open? Is it?
maybe not.
Are we doing it with people running around in here?
You wanted it at 7 p.m., Wes?
Yeah. Yes, please. It's really hard to do it earlier.
There's plenty of time.
For me, I mean.
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
number on how much more we donate.
Not on this one, on the additional one. That's one.
So July 26th is a Thursday?
Yeah.
Third is in here.
Nice,
can we do, it at the fire building? We've had a public meeting there before.
Yeah, museum.
The museum.
Third.
Fourth Thursday of the month.
Fourth Thursday.
It's open? Okay.
All right, so we'll do it at the museum instead.
Museum?
Yeah.
Thursday night might be
6,000 seater.
Yeah.
There's some night for Thursday.
6,000.
That's the address of Patrick.
Oh, they're really big. I don't remember being that.
It's the whole population.
Question. Can we refer to the other facility as the old fire station rather than the museum? I think it would to clarify things. And I've asked before, but I would like to see it. I noticed on the agenda that we never have the dates of the next meeting. Can we put the dates of the next meeting on the agenda so that we can see it right in front of us when we get home? We can put it on the calendar or on our phones.
So well, I guess we don't know it until we...
Our regular meeting. Next meeting will be August, whatever. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else?
That's all I have.
All right. Thank you. Meeting adjourned.